Thank you, Trevor. I think great perspective and very clear and to the point. I think especially the point you made around CEOs and other executives looking after multiple products, multiple distribution channels, and the need for clarity in risk reporting and the move away from volume. And also the analogy you drew around the role of ERM and its place in the hierarchy of needs. I think some great thoughts for us to reflect on as a group of risk professionals. Again, what we'd like to do now is change the pace once again and invite John Evans, Associate Professor, Australian School of Business at the Uni of New South Wales, up to the podium to provide his perspective and just briefly recapping some of John's background. John is an Associate Professor in the Australian School of Business and Chairman of the Emerging Leaders Investments Limited, and also the Chairman of several Risk and Compliance Committees. So I think we'll get quite a good perspective both from the academia and the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee.
Maybe.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. I'm going to give you a view across three stakeholder positions because I occupy all three from time to time. I am a board member, a chairman, and as I said this morning, I've sat on the board of the New Zealand Superannuation Fund, and prior to that, I sat on the board of some large industry superannuation funds, which was interesting, to put it mildly. I also chair risk and compliance committees for financial institutions, and the last stakeholder position I'd like to talk about is I put myself in the category of an applied academic in risk management. When I started to put the slides together a couple of weeks ago, I thought maybe I was being a bit negative. So I passed them to Josh and said, what do you think? He said, nah, that sounds okay. So Josh is totally responsible. These are some slightly negative comments on director's perspective. I still think risk management is predominantly seen at the board level, is seen as a compliance function. It is very much tick the box. I sympathise with Trevor's 400 pages, and I think that's trying to overwhelm you. If you can't get it down to 4 pages, I agree, don't bother. But it still is very much a tick-the-box function. And one of the problems here, and it also comes out in the risk and compliance area, is that the amount of time as a director or in the risk and compliance committees that you've got to put into the business is very small relative to what management are putting into the business. And so the background information just isn't there. And so you struggle sometimes to understand really what's going on. And it is very easy to miss something. Very easy indeed. I guess you've all seen heat maps and risk event registers, and that's essentially what boards and risk and compliance committees get. I don't think the dynamics of risk is well understood. The fact that risk can exist simultaneously in the known, the unknown, and the unknowable space is just not contemplated at all. If anything, there's an attempt to put risk into one box or the other and maybe review it every 12 months. I've never seen an industry or a business that stays stationary for a whole year. And as you just change, you change a process, you bring a new product in, merge something, you are moving from a known risk to an unknown risk. And those two can exist exactly the same. And they actually go backwards and forwards like a pendulum. And that is just not on the agenda. You don't see it. Frank, with you, I know we've had some great discussions on risk tolerance, and I think it is moving forward. But risk tolerance is just not understood well, particularly its implementation. I think there was one of the speakers this morning, this afternoon, gave some hints as to the problems when you cascade risk tolerances or the implication of risk tolerance. And you cascade it down into the business, the operating areas. To put it bluntly, all hell breaks loose. I'd love to give my students in risk management an exercise of saying, we've all agreed you can have $100 each in your business lines, in your CBA or whatever. And bingo, 6 months later, there's a hell of a mess in one of them. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Nobody knows the answer to that in terms of actually capital allocation and that sort of issue. I have to say also, and I'm supported in this because I just finished a survey of human capital risk amongst very generous insurers who agreed to talk to me and my colleague from School of Management. And they also supported the view there's a very significant difference between reality and rhetoric in the risk management space. You hear, if you get the opportunity to see, as I do, to see inside some organisations, what they're saying, and particularly you read the reports, it all sounds very nice, it's got the right words in it. You go inside and you think, how in the hell did that happen? It's different. On the positive side, I think boards are definitely wanting to be engaged. But there's a lack of ability. It's only just now you're seeing people come onto boards that actually were trained in risk management. Prior to now, you've got to understand, these people did not have specific training in risk management. So they had to try and pick it up while they're running. They're there part-time, management's there full-time. It's no wonder management's way in advance. I think there's also a new awakening that's happening. Not only is risk seen as a negative that you have to try and manage so that it doesn't make a mess of things of the balance sheet, but there's also a view that you have to understand the balance between the negative risks and the positive risks. What are the risks we want to take on, and what are the risks we don't want to take on? And that's just starting that debate. At the moment, they're two separate debates, which is quite disturbing. In fact, they have to go together and become one debate. You can't have them separate. But there is a separate debate. I'm not too sure when you get to the end of that debate with them both separate and then try capital allocation, what happens. But look, I think it is a positive. I think it's going in the right direction. Risk and compliance committees, in reality, they're just a compliance function. I find very little engagement with the boards. They're seen as something the board can go tick, yep, we've got it, yep, we got a report came up from a compliance committee, thank you very much, goodbye. Again, I don't think there's sufficient time allocated, and one of the reasons is I think the pays have dropped off dramatically. So with greatest respect to some of my colleagues, I think the standard of some of the people now is dropping, which is indeed unfortunate. From the academic perspective, I find this singularly disappointing. I think, and it's all to blame on the academics. The city is way in front of academia in terms of risk management. The discussions we've had here today would not occur in academia. At best, academia sees risk management as quant and more quant and more quant. And that's as far as it's going. It is not engaged. It's extremely disappointing. I know John Jarrett was encouraging us to perhaps do some work. John, wherever you are, no, not here, John, give us the data, we'll do the work. But again, it's going to be quant driven. The idea of looking at management processes, and I think the factor models were mentioned, just not happening. So very disappointing. I think risk management is starting. I started a program 3 years ago now at the University of New South Wales. My quant people have got control of it. And it turned it into a quant finance course. Needless to say, I'm not very amused. And fighting tooth and nail to get it turned back. So some of the qualitative type processes are just not there. But and even my management people, who I thought, wow, they'll do a good job in a couple of management courses. What'd they do? Put some quant in it. So overall, I think there are some negatives. Across whether you're a director or chair of Risk and Compliance Committee. I think the biggest disappointment I'm finding at the moment is from academia, who just won't engage on this subject. Thank you.